Hello everybody and welcome to BitNote. This is David Collins and we'll be playing video game music and talking about the games they're from. Hope you enjoy. Okay everybody, normally I play the music from video games, but I've mentioned before that video games don't just exist in a vacuum. They're played by millions and millions of people worldwide, and often various fans will create their own worst either part or hugely based on the video games they play. Well, what I'm about to play you now is the theme tune from a web series that developed purely because of one video game. I'll talk to you more about it in detail in a second, but essentially it's a series that was released. Each episode is about a couple of minutes long and released on a fairly regular basis. It has been released for years. It's hugely popular online and pretty damn funny as well. But I'll just start you with the theme tune and I'll talk more about it later. And that was Blood Gulch Blues, made by Trocadero, and it is the theme tune for the web series Red vs. Blue by Rooster Teeth, which in itself is based on Halo, which was developed by Bungie, which was bought out by Microsoft Game Studio. So like I said, online in the internet, gaming sort of builds up its own culture, its own followings, its own communities and everything. And of course, people make their own entertainment based on remixing or having their own interpretation on some of the games that they play. Every so often, though, some people go far beyond that and create something that, while kind of based on something, sort of goes far beyond it and becomes its whole thing. And Red vs. Blue is one of them. It's what's called a machinima. Actually, I'll probably just explain it from the start. Halo is basically a video game. As we know, it was released at in the early noughties. It became gigantically popular. It's basically Space Marines and people played and had a lot of fun. A couple of guys were playing the multiplayer and were thinking, hey, wait a second, you know, first player, you know, when you play as, you know, the single player campaign, you've got this whole story and, you know, you're fighting the aliens and you're fighting the Covenant and getting to the end and super weapon, blah, 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 and climactic chase and everything at the end. But if you're playing multiplayer, you're just a bunch of guys fighting each other. You know, you're choosing teams and you have different colors and everything. But, you know, there's nothing in the instruction manual. There's no reason why you're doing any of this sort of stuff, why you're fighting each other in multiplayer mode. So they figured, I know, well, let's... Well, what reasons would there be? And they ended up creating their own stories for, you know, why these players, why these people were in all these areas. Blood Gulch, for instance. Blood Gulch is basically a small box canyon in one of the more common multiplayer maps where people can play a game. So they basically had this whole story for a bunch of soldiers, one at each end of Blood Gulch, and came up with the reasons why they were sort of like fighting with each other. It's actually a sci-fi sitcom, actually. It starts up with the characters just wondering why they're there and not much happening, and then there's just, it had a hilarious dialogue and good characters that developed over time, and over time the plots got pretty twisted and a lot of fun. So there's so many amusing situations, and like I said, they're releasing episodes of a couple of minutes every so often, but how they're actually created is really interesting. You see, it's not done just by using live actions, but it's done by actually recording video game footage. They basically have a character walk around in the game, in the multiplayer map, in Halo, and basically they just capture the screen, and then they have people controlling all the other characters, and through this they're actually able to shoot. They're able to actually shoot these short films by using the game technology instead of just... I mean, a lot of people kind of do something vaguely like this. They do gameplay videos where they play around and they record what's going on and they post online. But this is a case of actually using a video game engine for, like, the setup, the staging, the production, the camera work, the characters, the everything, just for an entire, like, you know... practically like a TV series, like filmmaking. So that's essentially what it is. And I mean, they could be very inventive too. In one case, what they wanted to do was get this nice panning shot where the camera faces the bottom of a ridge and gradually moves up. So they basically drove a cannon onto the scene, had the guy who was acting as the cameraman stand on the nib of the cannon, and then gradually have another guy in the cannon who gradually raised the turret so that they could get this effect. I mean, they did a lot of this really clever stuff trying to get these camera angles, and basically using this video game engine that was basically designed for a bunch of guys to be running around killing each other, or just in the sake of fun, you know, and using it instead to make this dry, you know, witty, slightly sardonic, basic sci-fi sitcom about a bunch of military space marines who really don't know why they're there, and just figure they might as well hate the guys at the other end of the box canyon because it seems like, well, they're being ordered to, and it otherwise seems like the best thing to do. It has several different characters, a couple of in-jokes, that whole thing that the song even mentions about the puma there, about one of their more famous in-jokes. One of the more famous jokes, because there's basically a vehicle in it and it's called a warthog, and people say, why is it called a warthog? Okay, I'm not going to try to redo the dialogue because clearly a lot of it is how it conveys, but it became massive. There were a couple of even actual video games that ended up referencing this. It became a huge hit, and I've actually lost track of it now. So if anyone's going to pull a gun to my head and start asking me what the series is doing right now, I'm not entirely sure. I think what they did was they kind of like, you know, finished it and said that's enough, but then fans said no, we want more, and they said, well, okay then. And it's just kind of amazing, because I mean, it's got good writing and everything, and the folks at Bungie, the guys who actually developed the game that they based their entire series on, they're pretty happy with it too. And even in later games, it became a little easier for them to do their whole machinima thing. By the way, that's the whole thing it's called, by the way, machinima. It's the term used for basically creating filmmaking or filmmaking and stuff, but using video game engines rather than anything else. And like I said, there's so many different ways you could do it. You could just deliberately script the animations, or, you know, actually change the game itself, or you can do more basic stuff, like just have... The tricky thing with that is that there are a lot of limitations in what you can do. So if you can actually get something impressive using machinima, it's good. I mean, at one stage the guy had an idea of them throwing rocks into a teleporter, but they really didn't know how to actually do that using the machine, so they just kind of had to, you know, try to work around it. But like a lot of these limitations, sometimes, you know, it really shows how good you are if you can work within the limitations. So why don't we change tactics a little and move on to a slightly different sort of song. Hope you enjoy.
Do 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 this level.
And did you like that one? That was Tripod with Gonna Make You Happy. You see, for this show, I'm focusing more on songs not specifically from the games, but from people who are inspired by the games, and I think that certainly qualifies. Tripod, which is an Australian comedic band, and consists of Scott, Jan and Gatsy, are basically a comedy band, and as you can see there, that was some very nice video game inspiration there. They're self-admitted geeks a bit, and while I think that song plays a little heavily to the old complete, you know, stereotype of geeks being so obsessed with video games that they're not seeing a beautiful woman sitting right in front of them, I still think it's pretty damn humorous as well. I do sometimes wonder what game they're playing, though, because apparently it's got a turret section, spaceships, and golden coins to collect, so I don't know, maybe it's, I don't know, I'd like to play that game, whatever it is, but it's all in good fun, so no point overanalyzing it, despite how much interesting that activity might be. And why don't we move on to another song? So we've had, as I've said so far, we've had a song that's inspired by video games, a song based on a series that was inspired by video games, now a more comedic song based on video games. Now let's move on to something that's a little more traditional way of celebrating a video game in music. I think I've told you before about remixes. This is when they take a song that was in a video game and people loved it, blah de blah de blah, and then they just basically someone went to town with it, you know, sometimes basically creating their own version of it. Like I said, it can sometimes it can change it into a different genre or give it different emotions or just give it different sets of instruments. But with a lot of these sort of remixes, it goes back to When the song was originally made, it was just made in the video game console. Usually had very primitive sound hardware, so you get a lot of robotics and chiptunes and everything. So people thought, you know, this would be just so much awesome if it was made with a full orchestra and everything. And I don't know. I think there's so many different ways you can take this, but this is one of the songs I really like. Enjoy. And that was Water on the Dance Floor. And it was that was by Akuma Belgemont. And it was, of course, from the... it was also from Project Chaos, which was an OCO remix project for remixing a lot of music from Sonic 3 and Knuckles Collection. It's based on the Hydra City theme, actually one of my favourite themes. It's got a real sort of underwater city vibe, and you're jumping with Sonic and or Knuckles or Tails, depending on who it is and what combination. You've got the carts joined into each other, and essentially you play this, go through this nice little aquatic landscape, and it's pretty damn, you know, with the city, that ruined underwater city, and it's pretty damn cool. You got some nice art effects, and you got a good bit of music going on behind it. In case you haven't checked it out, Sonic 3 and Knuckles, which is what happens when you take the two games and slot them together again, is pretty much considered one of the biggest, most epic Sonic games, especially of the earlier generation. But I'll probably should talk about it some other time. And as for the remix, it sounds a lot different from the original song, but I think that that's what gives it some of its strength. Okay, so keeping up the theme of the sort of what the fans make of these games, I think we're going to hit you with quite an interesting song that's very much of its time, both in terms of for the games that was released and in terms of the fandom that generated around it. I think I'll play it. Don't expect the most mature song here, but I think it's a bit of fun. Like I said, it just works better with a sense of humor.
I know fantasy is an RPG. The only one that I need, it's the RPG for me. I know fantasy is all that I play. All other games are lame, it puts them all to shame. I only play games that are popular. I only buy the games the lag is easily to buy. That way I know I get good games for sure. I may have a shallow mind, but you can't kiss my behind. See, it consumes my life, and that is probably why I'll never have a wife. I know fantasy he has awesome music, and that's probably why it always gets remixed. I always buy the soundtrack to each game. Oh, it is the only thing that I will listen to. Oh, sure, one day it may drive me insane. You may think that I'm a fool. Well, I'm here to say it's true. On PlayStation 2 with music by Nobu and graphics by Wanshu. It is Final Fantasy number 10. Must save the world again right here from my own den. Hopefully I'll get through the game just fine. I don't know why I continue to play each game. They'll be made changes till the end of time. Oh, I guess that I will pay for these new games till Doomsday.
Okay, so what you just heard there was, in its basic form, it was a remix of a theme from Final Fantasy V. It was a remix of Boko's theme, which was originally composed by Nobuo Uematsu, and was remixed by Joe Redifer. But what it was actually was, aside from a remix, was kind of like a parody piss take of the Final Fantasy fandom that had grown up around the time. And when this was, like, this song's basically from around 2001. You see, Final Fantasy, which had been variously, as you can see, named, was started up, like, in the really early 90s. But with Final Fantasy VII, it was an explosion of popularity. And with the game 7, 8, 9, and so forth, suddenly a huge amount of fans started to join the series. And it's just, a lot of that fandom had a bit of a reputation, and I mean, pretty much every fandom of everything, especially online fandoms, do have a reputation. You know, there are always those people who give the fandom a bad name, but this case it was the reputation of being closed-minded, damn, no, Final Fantasy is the best thing ever, and you know, you guys are stupid, you know, standard kind of immaturity, and just people going, no, you don't like this, so you're wrong. I like this, so I'm right, sort of stuff. And, you know, the only thing you can really do is sit back and just have a bit of a laugh at the time. But there were, like I said, a lot of cool people in the Final Fantasy fandom. Not that I was ever really a part of it or anything, just not really played it. I still mean to play Final Fantasy VII one of these days. I've still got the discs, but I just didn't quite get far enough in it. But, essentially, there are a set of really popular role-playing games, you know, going on great adventures and everything. And essentially, like I said, the fandom grew up, and that little song there was just a bit of a, you know, just a bit of a, you know, a bit of a playful prodding at them, just to, just basically making fun of some of the fandom aspects. And that was pretty cool in its own way. But, you know, kind of immature now. Since then, I don't know, I mean they are fans and they are communities of Final Fantasy out there, but in the years that have gone by, a lot of other franchises have taken up to popularity, and Final Fantasy isn't really as relevant to the gaming scene as it used to be. The most recent games, you know, they get, you know, journalists pay attention to them, but, you know, people aren't jumping over themselves or to get it. But anyway, to finish up, we're also finishing up with a fan-created Final Fantasy song, yep, but not quite. You see, this is something else I haven't told you about. When the fans react to the game, when people take games' inspiration, bring them online, there's so many ways it can manifest itself. And in one of the ways is webcomics. Webcomics are basically comics that are placed online and people are able to read them. Usually what happens is the person will put up the most recent comic. So people can, you know, keep checking the site to read the most recent comic. And then if you've discovered the comic for the first time, you click first to display the first comic that was put online and then read it and then keep clicking next to read through the entire archive. Now, some of these can be gigantic webcomics, but I mean, like, around the turn of the millennium, that's when webcomics really started getting going. One of the most popular gaming webcomics, Pummy Arcade, actually has gaming expositions and huge popularity and stuff. Very few other gaming comics have that level of popularity. But there is one webcomic, gaming webcomic, that I liked. It was called RPG World, and it was created by Ian Jones Quarterly. And it was basically a parody of RPG games like Final Fantasy. So it had this unlikely hero, and he was going out on an adventure, and he was a bit of a dolt, and then every time there was some ridiculous RPG convention, the storyline would make fun of it and everything. And people loved this. I mean, it was one of the earlier webcomics, and the humor was sharp and pretty fun, and they also had nice characters too as they more added in it. And the whole comic generally went into the plot line of a role-playing game. And so essentially it went on for many, many comics, and then unfortunately after several years of him updating it, the project was just dropped. It was actually pissed off a lot of fans. Not so much, I mean, you know, you got to respect the webcomic creator. They rarely make any money out of webcomics, Penny Arcade being a gigantic exception for various reasons. But it's just, apparently the fans were a little bitter, and maybe some of the people that my previous song made fun of also turned their ire towards this webcomic artist, who knows. But unfortunately it ended just as it was reaching the big climax with the major boss, and you know, it was kind of, you'd invested in the characters and you'd like want to see where they're going, but how well, such is the way of life. This is actually a very unique, what I'm about to play is a unique song, because it's a fan song to RPG World. The fan song itself was created by a guy called Cyberseth, and what he based it on was, in the very first RPG Worlds comic, basically the guy goes, you know, the caption goes, an unlikely hero goes out for adventure, and the dim-witted hero goes, starts singing, unlikely hero out for adventure, and just that one line. And essentially, it's obviously a song completely didn't exist, but so that didn't stop Cyberseth, who ended up taking that single line from the very beginning of the comic, you know, back when the comic was just in infancy, finding its feet, just starting up all the earlier jokes before it got into the real plot line, and he created this entire song based on that. And not only did he create this awesome song based on that line in the comic, but that song ended up being sung in the actual comic itself. Yeah, Ian Jones Quarterly loved the song so much that he had the actual characters sing pretty much the full song during one really climactic major scene in the comic. So it's kind of a whole going back and forth with the whole thing. It's really awesome. So I'll leave you with this song. It is Unlikely Heroes by Cyberseth. It's inspired by RPG World by Ian Jones Quarterly. And it's a good webcomic. It's still online, RPG World comic. But for now, this is David Collins with BitNote. Video game music, or music that somehow came to be due to video games, and I wish you the best.
We set off without knowing who we were. Time to us has been like a blur. But none of that matters, our time is now. We'll seize the day, we'll get there somehow. Unlikely heroes out for adventure. Hear the battle cry as we charge through the light. Unlikely heroes out for adventure. Heroes never give up, no, they always fight, so we fight. Take your best shot, you'll never break my pride. I'll be the chosen one, my friends here by my side. No matter of sorcery will secure your victory. We'll win the fight, we'll see the final FMV. Just like a cannonball, we'll soar into the sky. Shield your eyes as we charge through the light. Unlikely heroes out for adventure. And heroes never give up, no. They always fight.
Thank you.
final stretch, it's not far to go. I've got my weapons and the baddies in my sight. Likely heroes out for adventure. Heroes never give up, no. They always fight.